This week, November 5th, 2013, on The Digital Story. The Nikon DF Mechanical DSLR. On the Nimbelocity Report, the Olympus Stylus 1. From the Photo Help Desk, do I need expensive filters? All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Three excellent topics for you today. We're going to start out with the Nikon DF Mechanical DSLR. This has a lot of photographers quite excited. And then we're going to look at the Olympus Stylus 1 in the Nimbelocity Report. And I can tell you right now that this cute little guy has a very high Nimbelocity rating and some excellent specifications. And then we're going to talk about filters in the Photo Help Desk segment. That's story number three today. Like I said, good stuff, but let's get going with that Nikon DF. Well, it all started in the Scottish Highlands with a very, very good teaser video by Nikon of a craggy old guy making mechanical sounds with a camera that you couldn't quite see at the time. But we had a feeling that what we're going to receive from Nikon, by the end of this year anyway, was a DSLR that harkened back to the heart of photography. And it appears that that's what they're going to deliver. Now, as I record this, the actual DSLR hasn't been officially announced yet. I'm working off what I consider very good rumor and speculation. So some of this might be subject to change by the time you listen to it. And of course, I'll make any corrections in the show notes if anything changes. But I think I have the gist of it here pretty good. In fact, let me go over what we're looking at here. So we're talking about a DSLR with a full frame 16 megapixel sensor in it. It will have dedicated mechanical dials for shutter speed, ISO, exposure compensation, exposure mode, and release mode. It will be compatible with mechanical cable releases. And by the way, Nikon makes a fantastic mechanical release. I use the Nikon release with my Fuji X20, which also accepts those types of cable releases. We'll have 39-point autofocus with 9 cross sensors, compatible with AFS, AFD, and AD Nikkor lenses. And the body price will be in the neighborhood of $2,800. Clearly, Nikon has put a lot of thought into this camera. And I think to some degree, they were inspired by what Olympus did with the OMD. And Nikon, of course, has legendary SLRs, the Nikon F, and the Nikon, what is it, FM, FE. I'm not as up on Nikon as I am some of the other brands, but I do remember playing with some of those mechanical cameras of the past, and they were wonderful. So you take a look at this, the DF, and first of all, it's a stunner. I mean, really. It is a beautiful, beautiful camera. I just love the top deck in particular. If you go online, you can see some of the shots of the top deck with all the mechanical dials. And it looks like you're looking down, except for there's a small LCD screen on the right side. Not very big. And I think it's very tasteful the way that they handled this, except for the small LCD screen. On the right side of the top deck, you're looking down at it, and you're going back in time. You're going back in time where you see shutter speeds, and you know, it might as well say ASA for the numbers instead of ISO. I mean, really, it is absolutely gorgeous. Front view is also quite stunning. Classic Nikon styling when you look at the camera from the front. Now, it's not until you look at the back of the camera then that you really feel like you're holding a digital SLR instead of a film SLR. But of course, they had to do that, right? I mean, we want that LCD, right? we do still want the digital. We just don't want it to feel digital. We want it to feel mechanical. We want it to feel like the roots of photography, but yet with the performance of a modern day DSLR. And it looks like that they absolutely have done that. It'll be available in silver and black, probably around the end of the month. And I'll tell you, Nikon, over the last few years, has produced some cameras that really have, I think, caused a lot of photographers to look again at Nikon if they weren't Nikon shooters. And, of course, really shored up those who were already shooting with Nikkor lenses. This camera right here, the DF, I think has as much possibility of bringing people over to the Nikon side of any camera that I have seen in maybe ever from Nikon. Just because whether you shoot Canon, Sony, Panasonic, Olympus, Pentax, you look at this camera, you look at the DF, and especially if you came up through film photography, and I think, you know, that's really who they've built this camera for. Although I gotta say, I think a lot of people, a lot of young photographers who have studied photography in school will look at this camera, and I think it'll have an extremely high coolness factor about it. So it's not going to be just the guys like me that shot film for years and years. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be attracted to this camera. And I think there's a very good possibility that there will be a number of converts, maybe not full head-on, you know, whole Nikon system, but certainly this DF with maybe a 50 millimeter prime, maybe one or two other prime lenses. And really, this is the camera that they use when they want to turn dials, when they want to hear clicks, when they want to hear Nikon's mechanical shutters have always sounded good. I can imagine that this one is really going to be sweet. It's going to be the camera for people who appreciate that. And you know what? The other thing about it, and I was thinking about this last night, actually, when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about on today's show, is that a camera that maybe makes you slow down a little bit, maybe think a little bit more about your photography, maybe that you work just with prime lenses on it, that's a neat thing. That can help us produce the kind of images that we could be really proud of, and that may end up on the wall of our office or our home, our studio, or the local coffee shop, or if we're really lucky, a museum, right? Or a gallery. So I think that slowing down a bit or having a tool that makes it pleasurable to slow down, not just forces you to slow down. I mean, a view camera will make you slow down, but in my case, it's not particularly pleasurable. You just can't go, you know, any faster with it. This camera can help you slow down, and I think it'll be delightful in the way that it does it. So I have to tell you, I'm pretty high on this guy myself, and I don't know if I can afford the $2,800 plus, you know, another couple hundred bucks for a Nikon Prime to shoot with it. But boy, if I can borrow one, I'm going to, and if I can, I'll report on it. But count me in with those photographers that are really excited that Nikon has done this. And I love it, and I can't wait to see what the test reports are on it. We'll follow this story. In the meantime, let's just all look at it and go, wow. Oh, if only my credit card had the room. All right, so let's get on to the Nimbelocity report right now. Well, here's another cute guy. I mean, what is this, Handsome Camera Week or something? So in the Nimbelocity report, brought to you by the Nimble Photographer at thenimblephotographer.com, we're looking at the Olympus Stylus 1. And this was just announced, what, about a week ago or so, maybe 8 or 9 days. And it looks like a baby OMD EM5. And in fact, it even has a magnesium alloy body, has that cool look that just gets so many of us excited. But it's even smaller than the OMD. And what they've done here, what Olympus have done here, is actually quite tempting and very high on the Nimbulosity rating. So they have, in this small camera body, I mean, this thing weighs 14 ounces. I mean, it is light. It will definitely fit in the walking man shoulder bag along with an iPad, right? So they have put a 12 megapixel sensor in it, and it's a sensor about the same size as the one in the XZ2. It's the, you know, 1/1.7-inch sensor. Nice size sensor. Not as big as the one that's, you know, in the Sony's. Not quite as big as the one that's in my Fujifilm X20, but a good size, a nice size. It has a built-in electronic viewfinder, 1.44 million dot electronic viewfinder, and it has a 1 million dot 3-inch tilting touchscreen LCD. So it has both an electronic viewfinder and an LCD. By the way, if you hear rumblings in the background, the cat somehow got in the recording room here, and she's feeling frisky. So I just chased her down the stairs and closed the door behind her. So we shouldn't have any more bumps in the night there during the report. I heard him in the headphones. I was going, what in tarnation is going on here? Yes, cat in the recording studio, not a good combination. So anyway, back to the stylus one. So both electronic viewfinder and a 3-inch tilting touchscreen LCD. And I love it that they put the electronic viewfinder in there. I mean, this is why I shoot with the X20. It has an optical viewfinder, but you just need something other, in my opinion, you just need something other than an LCD for a camera that is truly going to be usable indoors and out. Now, the zoom lens is quite a story, too. 28 to 300 millimeter equivalent, so that's like a 10.7x. And it's optically stabilized, not sensor stabilized, optically stabilized. And then it has a constant aperture of f2.8 all the way through the zooming range. f2.8. So you're at 28 millimeters, you got f2.8 stabilized, and you're at 300 millimeters, you're at 300 millimeters, f2.8 optically stabilized. Now you don't get, because of the smaller sensor, you don't get that real soft background like you would on a DSLR at 300 millimeter f2.8. And there are all sorts of charts out there that show you kind of the equivalent. But what you do get is light coming in through the lens to the sensor. And that is really neat. f2.8 all the way through the range. Built-in Wi-Fi with smartphone control. And the implementation by Olympus is quite good. On their Wi-Fi, I got to play with it on the EM1, and I liked it a lot. And I would imagine that Stylus One will also have this great compatibility between your iOS or your Android app and the Wi-Fi and the camera. RAW capture, so you have JPEG and RAW, and you have movies, of course. Built-in pop-up flash, so you get both the electronic viewfinder and the built-in pop-up flash. Very nice. Same battery as the Olympus OMD, so you don't have to go out and buy a bunch of new batteries if you're already an OMD shooter. And it should sell for around $699. Wait, I got the battery thing wrong. I'm going to blame this on the cat. She's not here right now, so I can do that. It's the same battery as in the Olympus Pens. Not the OMD. So the BL5, I believe, is the battery that we see in the Olympus Pens. So if you have, let me rephrase that, if you have Olympus Pens around the house or the studio, then you won't have to go out and buy new batteries. Now, this thing should sell for about $700, as I mentioned, which, you know, that's a chunk of change, right? But the thing about it is that you do truly have an all-in-one camera that has a good constant aperture, has a nice zooming range, has all sorts of good features, including RAW and built-in Wi-Fi, has a nice sturdy body. Now, it's not a weatherproof body like you get with the EM5. It's not a weather, but it's a sturdy body. You do get the pop-up flash, which, you know, that these days with Olympus is fairly rare in their high-end cameras. And you get a very nice built-in electronic viewfinder and a touchscreen LCD, 12 megapixels, $700, very high nimbleosity rating. So I talked to Olympus and I said, "You're going to let me test one of these, aren't you?" And, you know, you get the thing, yes, of course, you're on the list. You know, I know I'm not at the top, and they're smart enough not to say that I'm at the top of the list, but I am on the list. So I'm hoping that with this camera, I'm, you know, more near the higher end of the list. Let's say above midsection, than at the bottom of the list, which is where I think I am on the EM1. I got to see the EM1 before anyone else, but I think I get to test it last. So I don't know. I didn't realize at the time when I got to see it so early in its development that meant I wasn't going to get to test it till, you know, months later. They should be more clear about that. It's probably somewhere in the small print in the NDA. Anyway, I did not get a preview of the Stylus One, which means I might have a good chance of seeing it here sooner than later. Once I do, I'm certainly going to put it through its paces, because I do think, like I said earlier, that a camera like this, you just put it in the walking man shoulder bag, put your iPad in there or your smartphone in there, a few personal items, it doesn't weigh hardly anything. It's very comfortable. The bag doesn't take up very much space. You can wear the bag all day. That's the thing that I like about that shoulder bag, and I just did it again on Saturday, is that I can wear the bag all day. Even when I'm sitting in the bleachers at a high school basketball game, I can keep the bag on because it's so nimble. And then I don't have to worry about it falling down through the bleachers. I don't have to worry about someone stepping on it. Don't have to worry about someone taking it. It's on me and it's secure. And a small camera like this that has this kind of capability really makes all of that a lot easier. So I want to test it. And once I get my hands on it, I'll tell you a little bit more. But right now, as I look at the numbers on this, as I look at the features, I think Olympus has done a very, very good job with this long zoom, constant aperture, little OMD. Isn't that funny to say that? Little OMD. Little OMD Stylus One. Okay, third story from the photo help desk. This just came up. I answered it on photo help desk today, actually, the day I'm recording, which is Tuesday or Monday, about multi-coated filters. And we haven't talked about filters for a while. And I was sort of glad that John wrote in and brought up this question. Now, his question was that as he looks at filters, and he was looking for a polarizer for his Nikkor 50 millimeter. And he said, wow, you know, there's quite a breadth of pricing here between the lower end polarizers and then the high ends. And he noticed that the high ends tended to have multi-coating and probably, you know, some other stability features, very nice construction. And he goes, well, you know, I'm an amateur, I'm not a pro. Do I need to spend the money to get the multi-coating and therefore, you know, put a bigger dent in my credit card balance? And, you know, it's interesting. I don't really think that you need the top of the line polarizer, especially if it's going to be a polarizer that you're going to depend on quite a bit. But I do think you want multi-coating. And so however that works out, whether it's a Hoya instead of a BW, however that works out, you do want multi-coating. And the reason why is that your lens itself has very good light transmission, has a great optical design. The lenses have multi-coatings on them, the different optics in the lens. And when you put anything in front of that, in front of, you know, between your composition and your lens and therefore your sensor, you want that as often as possible to be as high as quality as possible. The multi-coatings on the high-end filters, they have better light transmission. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Less light is bouncing off the glass, more light is going through the glass, and you get a better image. Generally speaking, I think you get a little better contrast. You're not as vulnerable to flare. And I think overall, you just get a better picture with filters that have multi-coatings because they more closely match the optics that you have on your lens itself. So the unfortunate news on this is, sorry, John, that I would, especially for the polarizer, but actually any filter that you're going to put on your lens, I would pony up for the multi-coating. It doesn't necessarily have to be the most expensive multi-coated lens filter out there, but you definitely want the multi-coating. And keep in mind, however, I mean, the good news is that I've had my polarizers for years. I have a number of them because I like them in all the different sizes. And I have them from 10, 15 years ago, and you probably will too. And so it is an investment that once you make it, you take good care of it, you will have it for a long time. But I do feel the sting. I know exactly what you're talking about. And when you're looking at a polarizer, especially a larger diameter polarizer, like a 77 millimeter polarizer, and it's $150, $160, you're going, oh man, I don't really, you know what I could get for $150? And, you know, a filter probably wasn't at the top of your list for that $150. But I think once you get it and start using it and pay it off, then it's nothing but great pictures in your future. So I would go for it. I think multi-coating is a good idea on your filters. Okay, let's get to a little virtual camera club business. I'm going to start out with The Nimble Photographer over there at thenimblephotographer.com. So things are going really well over there. I hope you've had a chance to visit the journal and walkabout are both getting good traffic. And I enjoy keeping up on them, so I am keeping up on them, and I really think this is something that I will be able to do for a very long time. I'm very excited about. And then over in the store, the shoulder bag, the limited edition shoulder bag, the one that was in Nimble Green, is no longer available. So we went through those 40, that limited edition. So those of you that have that know that you have one of 40 bags in the world. That's kind of cool, I have to tell you. And I'm sure that's why they went so quickly for people who appreciate that. But what we have in there now is the black edition, very same bag, black edition. And it has the silver thread. This is embroidered. And the embroidery happens right here in up here in Northern California, in Santa Rosa, actually. I love the embroiderer. She does such a wonderful job on these. Not only does she do a good job on the walking man on the front flap of the shoulder bag, but when you turn it and you look on the inside, and if you've ever seen embroidered jobs that are sloppy, you'll know what I mean. The inside doesn't look so good, generally speaking. This, you open up the flap and you look at the inside, and it's beautiful. She just did a great job, cleaned up everything very nicely. I'm just very happy with them. They're also the same people that are doing the embroidery on the caps. So they really know what they're doing. So anyway, yes, so we have the black shoulder bag now and with the silver walking man. Very tasteful, very nicely done. It looks great. You can see it in the Nimble store right now. Same price, $29.95 for the shoulder bag. And coming up here in another week or so, I'll tell you right now that we're going to do a gift set that has the Walking Man shoulder bag, your choice of one of two colors on the cap. We're going to have a second cap coming that's really looks good also. I love the first one. Second one is darn close. And then a card, a handmade Nimble Photographer greeting card. And I'll tell you more about that later. But it's basically a gift set that you can buy it very affordable. It's going to be a great price. And you have a great gift for another photographer. And I should have that in the store. I'm hoping to have it in the store by the 11th, 12th, somewhere in there. So keep an eye out. I'll keep you posted here. So anyway, that's what's going on over at the Nimble Photographer. Now, we also have a new photo assignment on the Digital Story. And I hope you had a chance to go over and take a look at last month's photo assignment. It was cool. Grab shot. There are so many good photos in there. So that is under the member area. You can see photo assignment. And right now it's still in the right-hand column. Take a look at what our fellow photographers are doing, which is very, very good work. I'm very, very proud of everyone who's contributing to the photo assignment. We have a new one out for the month, Critters. That's for November. The theme is Critters. And I'm expecting fun stuff. I think Critters is a theme that allows, I think it encourages macro photography. I think it encourages interesting animal photography in general. And I think you can even go beyond that, depending on where your imagination leads you. So Critters. Now, that is sponsored by SizzlePix, SizzlPix at SizzlePix.com. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. They also award, once a month, for each photo assignment, a SizzlePix pick of the month. And that person gets a free SizzlePix. And I tell you, that is hot stuff. And that's one of my favorite emails to send out, you know, is when I do that handoff from the SizzlePix winner to Don, Mr. SizzlePix Sherman, and get to set that. And Don's always, he's always so warm and greeting and congratulatory to our winners. It's just really, it's a happy moment for me because I know what they're going to get here very soon is something that is going to delight not only them, but anyone else that sees it, their friends and family and anyone else who comes over to their house. Now, you know, speaking of SizzlePix, I just want to remind you that if you're going to get one for the holidays, I'd say within the next few weeks, right? I mean, you don't want them rushing on your SizzlePix. I mean, this is a handmade process. They have people, technicians, artists, photographers who are working on your image. And so you want to let them, you know, do their thing and really give you the best possible product possible, because that's what SizzlePix does. That's what separates them from, you know, other people who make metal prints, as we'll call it. You know, they might have the metal. You know, by the way, the metal isn't, the aluminum isn't as good either. I've actually bent some of the corners from the competition. But we won't talk about that because that's trash talking and we don't do that here. But I will tell you this, that not only is the aluminum better, but the people behind it are excellent. And so you want to have, you want to give them enough time to work on that. So next few weeks, if you're going to give a gift, a SizzlePix gift. Remember, it's a gift that delights not only the image, but the product itself. Go ahead and get it in there. Let them work on it. Get it back in plenty of time. You don't want to be making crazy around the holidays. Get your SizzlePix. Give it to someone special and just, you know, make their holiday season. SizzlPix.com. And they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. I also want to mention Red River Paper. Because what I'm doing right now, I am making custom Nimble Photographer holiday cards. They're kind of cool. On Red River paper. And I'm using a couple different stocks. The stock I was working with today is the Polar Matte, the 7x10 inch Polar Matte stock. I just love it. Oh, so beautiful, especially for the holidays. So crisp and white and has that great, you know, paper feel to it. You can print on both sides of it. And so what I'm doing is on the back of the Nimble cards, I'm actually putting the product number of the Red River paper so that if you get one of these things, if you buy the gift set on Nimble, on the Nimble Photographer, or get a card some other way, I'm going to talk about that up the road here, then you'll be able, if you like the paper stock that's on, you'll have the product number right there. And I'm kind of, I don't know, it's a small thing, but you know how I get very excited about small things. So, you know, I'm working on those right now, and I have to say the cards look great. And now is the time to be working on that also. So if you're going to do fine art cards for the holiday season, get your order in now. Go to, you know, Red River Paper. There's a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Take you right to our own landing page. Place your order. You can get your ink there too. If you print with Epson or Canon, get your ink there. Get your envelopes at the same time. The matching envelopes are just beautiful. And get that in your house. So when that day comes, sometime in November, early December, hopefully not mid or late December, when that day comes where you have a half a day to do your fine art card printing, you'll have all your supplies there. And those supplies, in all honesty, should be from Red River Paper, because they make the paper, they sell the paper, it's about 40% less, and they pass those savings on to you. And they help sponsor this podcast. What more do you need? All right, I think that is everything. One last thing before I go, So a great response to the workshops. You know, I talked about the 2014 season last week. Great response. Thank you, all of you who really took the time to say, yes, I want to go to this workshop or that workshop. And you put your name on the reserve list so that when the time comes, you know, you'll be able to reserve a spot if you do decide to go through with it. The response was fantastic. The San Francisco street shooting response, amazing. Safari West, terrific. Sonoma Coast, terrific. The fine art, the HDR and black and white one, very good. Great responses on all that. I've got to tell you. So I did lay an egg on one of them, though. And the high school senior portraits, horrible. Absolutely horrible response. So that one's going to come off the list. There is, I think, one person, and I'm not exaggerating, one person who thought it was a good idea. Bless your heart, by the way, if you're that person. Thank you. Otherwise, it would have been a shutout. And I'll let them know that I'm not going to do that. So I'll put something else in that slot. I'll figure out something better than high school senior portraits. Put something more exciting there. And I'll let you know as soon as I figure that out. But anyway, everything else, the list is hopping. One person for high school senior portraits. Oh, wow. Anyway, okay, so that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. Got more good stuff in the hopper. Hope to see you next week. Until then, go out, take some great pictures. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.